wasn't created or curated to treat. What we have designed this day for is to educate, to inform. So if you have any form of illness or any health condition, you need to speak to your doctor. Don't wait till Thursday when we'll bring health experts on the show before you now remember to ask those questions about your own health. Please take it very, very seriously. Thank you. Today we're looking at prostatitis. That's right. Why do people with prostate cancer, you know, prefer visiting religious institutions and leaders, you know, for treatment rather than approaching hospitals or clinics in Nigeria? I've always wanted to ask that question, but that's by the way. This morning we'll be letting you know what prostatitis is, the symptoms, the signs, and possible way of approaching it if you interested in treating it. Or you should be interested in treating it. To discuss, this is a medical doctor, Dr. Oluwatimileyin Okunkoya is here with me. Dr. Okunkoya, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Sheriff. Good morning, Lagos. Good morning, Nigeria.
How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm very well, thank you. It's good to be back here once again.
I'm sorry about the traffic this morning, Abi.
I guess it's part of where we live.
Yeah. Remember that you next week is International Men's Day, so this is in two parts. You know, next week we'll discuss men's health, you know, we'll look at some areas of men's health, and we'll talk extensively on that. But for this morning, what is prostatitis?
All right, I think that's a really good place to start, but I also had made a mental note in my mind that when I get here, I was going to welcome you back.
Thank you.
So it's good to have you back, actually.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me once again. Yeah. I'm delighted to be here. Prostatitis, which might sound like a mouthful, and perhaps for some individuals, this is the very first time that they might be hearing such a disease condition, because the more common thing that affects the prostate that people are aware of is prostate cancer.
That's right.
Or BPH, which is benign prostatic hyperplasia. But there is also something called prostatitis, which is what we're discussing and looking at in the course of this conversation. And quite interesting that we're doing so that we're not just focused on BPH or prostate cancer, but people know that, oh, there is such a thing as prostatitis, and then they are able to address it. So in its most simple form, prostatitis is an inflammatory process going on in the prostate. There's a medical hack that you could remember even after today's conversation, is that once a disease entity ends with ITIS, it means there's an inflammation going on. So whether it's conjunctivitis, whether it's pancreatitis, once you hear that itis at the end, it just means that there's an inflammatory process going on.
When you say inflammation and inflammatory process, what does it mean? Please help me break it down for my people.
All right.
Inflammation, what is it?
And that's a really good next step. So now we know, first of all, that prostatitis is inflammation of the prostate. But then the key word there is inflammation. So what exactly are we saying? So in very, very clear-cut terms, inflammation is the body's way of responding to an irritant or to a stimuli that is a foreign body of some sort, whether it's a pathogen, meaning whether it's disease causing or something of that sort. It's how the body responds usually, or even if you have a wound, how the body is responding to that particular event is what you would call inflammation. So it has three basic elements. There is swelling, there is redness, and there is some pain as well when an inflammatory process is going on. So say, for example, if you have conjunctivitis, your eyes will get red, there might be a bit of swelling, and there would also be some pain going on in that particular organ.
Apart from these signs and symptoms you've mentioned, are there other ones when it comes to prostatitis that people can watch out for, signs and symptoms of it?
Absolutely, absolutely. But I think that just before we get to that, we should also take a closer look at the prostate. And I know that it's possible that the conversation about prostate might be slightly polarizing, meaning that it might seem like, oh, it's only the men that are involved. But I always like to say that even if it's a disease that has to do with men, it should be for men and the women that love the men, so that everybody is carried along in the course of that conversation.
Your head did, yeah.
Just so that the women don't tune up and say, oh, this conversation today is just for the men. No, it should be for every one of us. We should know exactly what it is. So the prostate in itself is an organ that is located, so it's usually described as a walnut-sized organ. So it's not a very large organ.
Big.
It's located at the base of the bladder. So if you have the bladder, you have the prostate just at the base of the bladder. Now, that positioning is very strategic, because once the prostate is affected, a lot of the signs and symptoms you would see are urinary in nature. So it's because of the position the that positioning. It takes. So it's under right the below the bladder, and then the urethra sort of just passes through, which is where the urine, you know, goes through just before it comes out. Now, because of where it is placed, then the symptoms you would see most likely are going to be urinary in nature.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the bladder is where the urine is stored.
Exactly, precisely. Okay. So just so that we don't assume that everyone knows exactly what that is. So it's where the urine is stored just before it's passed out. So because the prostate is located just below the bladder, a lot of the symptoms that you would see and the signs would be urinary in nature. So you expect that an individual most likely might have what are called lower urinary tract symptoms, LUTS. Okay. Now, the three commonest that you might find is frequency, meaning that the individual that has prostatitis more likely would frequent the gents more frequently than any other person will. They would want to pass out urine. There's also urgency, that need to want to pass out the urine. There might also be something called dysuria, which is pain while passing out urine. So those are some of the urinary symptoms that you expect to see. In some instances, it's also possible that the individual with prostatitis might also have pain when ejaculating.
Okay.
That's also a possibility. Okay. And that also speaks to the location that we've mentioned as to where exactly it is. So that's also something that can happen. But largely, those are the things that you would expect to see, is the urinary symptoms and as well as a couple of other things that might also happen.
I want us to move on very quickly because of time. Because once we head out to for our first break, it will take some time for us to get back. So let's cover as much ground as possible in this brief short time that we have. Talk to me about whether age is connected to these or not.
All right. So that's a really, really good perspective to have. So generally, when it comes to the prostate, age plays a factor. Generally, it's that as we get older, every organ in the body isn't as effective as it used to be previously. And so it's likely that there would be some processes going on within the organ. So age plays a significant role when it comes to BPH as well as prostate cancer. But for prostatitis, interestingly, it's even more common in younger men and as well as also occurring in older men. So in this case, you aren't just looking at just the older people, because usually that's the thought pattern around prostate-related issues. You think that first and foremost, oh, this is something for people in their 50s, in their 60s, but young people can come down with prostatitis, because when you sort of try to break down prostatitis, there's the possibility that an individual has what is called acute bacterial prostatitis. So an individual, as a result of an infection, can have prostatitis. So the individual has urinary tract infections, for example, and then that infection just ascends the urethra and gets to the prostate. So that is not a respecter of age. So younger people can come down with a UTI that can lead to prostatitis. So to answer the question in its best possible form, is that prostatitis isn't just for older people.
Okay.
Younger people can actually come down with prostatitis.
What are other causes of this then? I mean, yeah, we've talked about the UTI infection and all of that, but what are other causes?
All right. So to sort of help to categorize it, just so that, you know, if we're able to give the typology or the types of it, then we can be able to identify the possible causes of
it's a good way to start.
So if we look at it in that fashion, so if we look at the first two types, which are bacterial in nature, so it could be acute bacterial prostatitis or chronic bacterial prostatitis. In that case, what we're referring to is something that is bacterial in origin, usually a urinary tract infection like we had mentioned earlier. However, in some instances, it's not bacterial.
Okay.
So it might not be an infection. It might be a bladder outlet obstruction. It might be some anomaly with the urethra that is feeding back urine into the bladder, or it's getting to the prostate, irritating the prostate, leading to that inflammatory process that we had mentioned earlier. But largely what you would find in many cases is that it's as a result of an infection, but that's not all that there is. If there's something wrong with the neck of the bladder, or the bladder is just not able to, you know, flow, you allow for urine to flow as effectively as you want it to, it can become a problem. Some other individuals will have other broad urinary issues or kidney stones and things like that. Once there are anomalies around that entire structure, then it's possible that the individual can come down with that inflammatory process that we've said is prostatitis.
Fantastic. Lagos, if you're just joining us, you're welcome. This morning, I have Dr. Ogunkoya here, and we're discussing prostatitis. And this has a lot to do with men. But if you're a woman who loves men, have you, how did you put it? That's how you put it.
Now, the conversation isn't just for men. It's also for the women that love the men.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're free to call in and ask these questions. 0700-993-993-993. 01465-7190. I would love for you to chip it in here, because I have my own questions here that I'm trying to rush through. But let's give you the chance, to be able to interact with Dr. Mokoya on prostatitis. You can call 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. Or if you're a female, you can call 01-465-7190. If you're a female, that's 01-465-7190. If you're a female, or just send me your message on WhatsApp 0809-597-5805. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Cheryl.
Yes, please.
And good morning. Okay, good morning, Mr. Sunday Japan.
You're welcome. Welcome.
Yeah. Okay. Good morning to your guests, too. Please, I need to ask, of course, I listened to your guests. I listened to every bit he said. And, of course, I compare and I contrast, those symptoms within myself. Mm. I thought I didn't have. But that does not, to me, suffice that maybe I should not go for test anyway. Okay. But I want to ask that getting to 50, in the middle 40s now, can someone, does maybe lifestyle, in time of eating lifestyle and all sorts, does it also affect,
the prostate?
To prostate or whatever.
All right.
I have not even experienced any of this.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Your point is noted. Let me just quickly go to, because of time, really. It's part of what I was going to ask you, what are the other factors that could lead to it, apart from the bacterial, the viral, other, the external factors that could lead to it, a lifestyle, like the caller said.
All right, great. And that's a really good point. So I'd envisage that there is no way this conversation is going to be limited to just prostatitis. Because it's also important to create a distinction between prostatitis and an enlargement of the prostate. I know I had said earlier that prostatitis has to do with the inflammation of the prostate, which means there will be some swelling. But it's quite different from an enlargement of the prostate, which is benign prostatic hyperplasia. So we should, as much as possible, be able to distinguish between both of them clearly. That for prostatitis, it's a response. It's an inflammatory response that is going on.
Okay.
For the enlargement of the prostate, so many other factors come to play. But you might want to ask, can someone from prostatitis get into BPH possibly? Is that it can lead to it in some instances, particularly if it's chronic, meaning that it's been going on for a very long time. But the most important thing to bear in mind, and this is to answer his question, is that when it comes to checking the enlargement of the prostate, it's important that we make the right lifestyle modifications. And that starts with what we're eating, ensuring that we're eating healthy. And that in itself is usually an exhaustive conversation.
Right.
So
you can say that again.
Into the details and
you can say that again.
It might be a bit complex and all of that. But it's important that we ensure that individuals, particularly as young men or as men generally, that we're improving or increasing our intake of fruit and vegetables, particularly fruits that would contain lycopene that helps with enhancing and harnessing the prostate growth. So you're looking at things that would contain that, and that's on one hand.
Yeah.
Also to mention that as we're getting older, we also want to try to reduce our intake of red meat, for example. That also has been indicated or indicted as a culprit when it comes to enhancing prostate enlargement in some instances. But the overarching thought really is that ensuring that we're able to eat healthy, that we're also exercising regularly. And that's also very, very important, because you and I can agree that the tendency to be sedentary in these days is much higher.
It's much higher.
A lot of us are just seated for
hours. You can say that again. Honestly. Especially these days where technology is just very close by. We can be very, 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 very immobile in this generation. Let me take one or two more calls, then we'll talk about, or should I ask my own question? I have plenty, honestly. Okay, let me take one. Good morning to you. Okay, this person is gone. Let's take another one. Good morning to you. Good morning. Yes, please. Good morning to you.
My name is Shagun, calling from K2.
You're welcome, Mr. Shagun. Welcome.
Yeah, I just want to ask the medical doctor. If one is having a kind of a pain, not really a sharp pain, but generally a pain on the right testicle, the pains will only come like 2-3 days at times, and at times it just go. Then, like it, you know, 2 or 3 weeks after, the pain will still persist. You experience the pain again. What kind of thing? What do you think about that, sir?
Did you get that?
Thank you.
Yes,
all right, Mr. Jagon, thank you. Thank you for calling. Yeah.
All right. So his question has to do with testicular pain. So that's what he's mentioning, is that from time to time, it's possible that he experiences some testicular pain. And thankfully, I'm glad that you started this conversation by saying that the crux of what we're discussing largely has to do with prevention
education. That's right.
And so my first advice to him is to ensure that he gets to the hospital. And the reason is quite simple. You don't want to be making assumptions as to what might be responsible for what he's experiencing. And it's best that you present at the hospital so that we can examine, oh, is this a varicose seal? What exactly might be going on here? What's responsible for this? And it would go beyond the ambit of just a conversation. What is important is to examine him properly so that we're able to take the next steps.
Let's take another. Let's see who is here. Good morning to you.
Hello, Sheriff.
Good morning.
I greet your guest. I'm sorry,
I salute you.
Thank you, sir. This is Alex calling.
Welcome,
please,
Alex.
There's two scenarios, and I appreciate Sheriff, don't laugh at this. So please, doctor,
I'll try.
What could be the scenario? You know, like you are trying to do some dishwashing, and suddenly you see yourself like about to, you know, pass out. You know, and you have to rush to the toilet to ease yourself. I've observed myself like twice on that. What could be the cause? And secondly,
wait first. The dishwashing is not like exactly dishwashing.
Trying to clean, and you notice that you want to urinate.
You in the kitchen?
No, like you have that sensation that you need to urinate.
Okay. And
I don't know if you get the question.
It will now feel like you want to pass out.
Yes. Not as in pass out, as in like, no, like you want to ease, you want to, you know, go and pee.
Okay.
It comes like that, you know, unexpectedly.
Oh, okay.
Like twice. I've been noticing that, just I try to observe myself. Then secondly, the other one, because I drink a lot of water, and I try to make sure I drink before 7, though sometimes maybe 8. But I observe like sometimes like 3 or 4 times during the night.
All right, Alex, thank you. Because of time, let me add this to it, because we'll head out now. This person says, can this prostatitis be caused by having sexual intercourse with a woman that has stopped menstruation? Is that what you're trying to say? I think so. That has stopped menstruating. That's the question there. But let's have you attend to Alex's own. If we have enough time, we can attend to this as well.
All right, great. Thank you so much for calling in and for asking, Alex. And I think it's a really good question, because it sort of exemplifies some of the things that we had mentioned earlier. So both of Alex's questions speak to two of the symptoms that we had mentioned earlier. But it's also important that we don't reach that conclusion that Alex has a problem with his prostate. That would be a rash assumption in that sense. But like I said, some of the things that he described exemplifies what we had mentioned earlier. So we mentioned the fact that it's possible that the individual has some sense of urgency,
right,
meaning that they are quite pressed, and it becomes quite difficult to even retain or hold back from actually passing out urine, which ideally shouldn't be that much of a burden. But in some instances, it's possible that it becomes so intense that the individual can be said to have some sense of urgency. That's on one hand. On the other hand, we also mentioned about frequency, and in some instances that can translate into nocturia, meaning that the individual then has to wake up multiple times in the night to actually pass out urine. And so both of those experiences that he has outlined possibly can describe some of the symptoms that we had mentioned, but it's not a given that he has an issue with his prostate. What is expected, like I said earlier as well, is to present to the hospital. There can be other reasons why individuals have some of these symptoms. It's not necessarily that it's prostatitis or that it's an issue with their prostate.
First is to present to the hospital so that you can be properly diagnosed of what exactly is going on. Let's take that break now. When we return, we'll talk some more with Dr. Oluwatimileyin Okoya. Lagos, stay here with us. We'll be back. 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's Health Thursday on the Morning Crossfire. Dr. Ogunkoya is here. I'm Sharif Quadri. 8:45 is the time. So we're going to, what we're going to do is, because of time, we're going to combine some questions that we have on WhatsApp and on Facebook so we can attend to all of these questions as quickly as we can. And then we'll take some calls as well. I will hold on to my own questions for now because you need to get yours across. Dr. Nkwaya, thank you again for coming through. Wale says, I have pains when urinating. I have pains when ejaculating. I urinate 6 to 7 times at night. I have urgency of urinating. Even during the day, I urinate very many times. What is the solution, please?
I think that that's quite straightforward. Wale needs to get to the hospital. It's important that we ensure that he's adequately reviewed because he has mentioned quite a number of things that we've already touched on earlier in the conversation about frequency, about urgency, about dysuria, pain passing out urine, pain ejaculating. And so it's important that he's adequately reviewed at this particular point in time. So I want to plead with Wale and with any other person that shares a similar story to please ensure that going forward from this conversation, you please present to the hospital. Let's actually get a review done and know what's going on.
Exactly. Biadun says, I do regular testicle check and I notice that they are small, even notice they are smaller, but I do have occasional swelling like appendix. Is that connected to...
It's not directly linked to the prostate. Like we had mentioned earlier, I think somebody also commented on it about having some testicular pain. And it's important to know that whilst it's not directly linked to the prostate, it might be some other issues going on with the testis. And so you want to get to the hospital as well to ensure that the testis is actually properly evaluated. Because whilst we had talked about prostatitis and how that there can be some inflammatory process in the prostate, it can also happen with the testis. So an individual can also either have an infection or have something else that is leading to an inflammatory process going on in the testis, and it's important that that is evaluated as well, just so that we're able to tell what might be the cause of that or what's going on there.
I'm glad that we touched on the signs and symptoms and all, because quite a number of people are sending messages connecting to those symptoms. I'm also glad that you said that it could mean some other things.
Absolutely.
AK from Bagada here says, I currently have all these symptoms, including foamy urine, done several tests, but still can't figure out what it is, what I am having, whether it is prostatitis or not. What else can I do?
All right, great. And I'm glad that the question or the comment came with action steps. So he had done this, he had done that, he had done this. So my advice would be very simple. If you had taken steps prior to now and you still seem to have recurring symptoms, you might take that a step further by speaking or seeing a urologist. So there is actually a specialist that actually oversees this aspect of the men's health. So a urologist is in the best position to give you specialist review on exactly what might be going on and then give you next steps in terms of what specific investigations need to be done or what procedures might actually be considered. So if you've done a couple of things prior to now, you might want to speak with a urologist.
Let's take a few more calls, then we go to Facebook and YouTube to take your questions. 01277-0993, 01277-1993, 01277-2993, 01277-3993, or just call the smart number 0700-993-993-993. That's a smart number. All of these numbers that I called out earlier, they are all embedded in that smart number. Good morning to you. Morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
We can hear you. Good morning, sir.
I want to join the... I want to speak with the...
Yes, please, go on. Go on, please. Go on, yes, you're live now.
Thank you very much. I'm saying this, I want to just call the attention of Kafaya and everyone to this particular thing. Most of us, we call or we send messages because of what we have started from 6:30. So Captain Smack shouldn't be angry that somebody is sending message that we did not read or whatever.
I think you're calling another show. I was trying to figure out what you're doing. So sorry. I was trying to reason, like, okay, what's he saying? What's he talking about? Good morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, madam.
Good morning. Yeah, good morning to doctor. My name is Eniola.
You're welcome.
I just want to find out what the correlation with this food, with prostate cancer or prostatitis, whatever, that's tomatoes and onion. Because my husband usually eats it, I think twice a week, and he says he's using it to prevent prostate cancer or prostatitis, whatever it is. What's the correlation within that?
Okay, food. All right. Anyway, thank you. Let's take another call quickly. Morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Sherry.
Good morning to you.
This is Adeshewa.
Adeshewa, talk to me.
Well, I've done some. Well, I have a son, a 23-year-old son.
Okay.
And I have male friends also.
Okay.
So I had some. The question I want to ask is something that I checked on online about this prostatitis or prostate cancer or anything. That it actually affects those that live celibate life.
Oh.
That's one. Then two. Okay. Then two. Is it true that if you have multiple partners, you won't go down with prostate?
All right. So let's thank you, Alicia, for calling. Let's start with food, then celibate, then yeah.
All right. So I'm going to move very quickly because yeah, I know that
exactly.
We have some time constraints.
Exactly.
So thank you. I'm also glad that it's the women that called. So this sort of buttresses what we said earlier, that this conversation is not just for men alone.
Right.
It's also for the women that love the men as
right.
well. So thank you so much for asking and for calling in. So I'll start with the very first one. So it's spot on. So tomatoes are also very good. I think I mentioned it earlier in terms of the foods that would contain lycopene.
Mm.
And tomatoes also do contain lycopene. So it's quite helpful in that sense as well. As much as possible as you can inculcate into your diet, it actually helps. So I want to plead with Madame that she should please...
Raw or cooked?
Both are actually
okay.
quite healthy as
all
well.
Right.
So you can give him both, so it's fine. As long as he's getting that into the system. Because it's important that we expand that conversation such that men are not constrained to just eat certain things, but they understand that, oh, let's increase our intake of fruits and vegetables.
Right.
It helps us a great deal eventually. So please, let's continue to help him with the tomatoes. It's actually very helpful.
Right.
So let me just move to the next two questions, which interestingly are myths that we should debunk
celibacy
in this conversation. Because it's often been said that if a man isn't having sexual intercourse regularly, that is at risk of developing prostate problems. But that's completely false.
Oh.
There is nothing that buttresses that. It should not be spread as a means to get individuals who are celibate or who are abstaining from sex or and all of that to the point to say, oh, if you don't do this, because this is some of the lies being peddled across in that particular sense.
Okay, we have to go. Faye asked the same question about celibacy, but I'm sure that we've been able to answer that, but we really must go now. But I'll have you back here next week, Thursday.
You have put me on the spot.
I'll be back here because we need to talk about men's health. Well, thank you so much for coming around. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Because that's our show. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Ruth is here and she's got some information for us.
This is an infomercial.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adeshina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire them. Those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.